Hartsville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Ben's getting the Periscope up if you want to watch along. Cody McClure's just updated the whiteboard and says the last show ever at 10 a.m. For us. For us, that is correct. At least for the foreseeable future. How are we this morning? I thought Ben's too busy to even answer. Cody?
I'm good, John. Good to be here, good to be anywhere on a terrific Friday morning full of heat and humidity.
Yeah, it's hot.
You know when it's hot at 10 a.m. that it's starting to become summer, you know?
Yeah.
When it's, because the what's the usual peak in the day in terms of temperature? Like 3 o'clock probably? 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock? 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock? We'll call it 2:30 p.m.
I assumed it was like 5, but I don't know. Maybe it's starting to decline at that point, but I feel like it's summer. It's still sun's up to like 8, so I don't know.
Last night it was light out until almost 9. I do love this time of the year in terms of the sunshine and just the days being longer, you know. It doesn't get dark till 9 o'clock.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. is the hottest
of the
day.
That is the answer, yeah.
Well, it feels like it's about
according
90.
Almanac.com.
That must
slash
be
slash fact.
I'd say that's
slash
accurate.
What is the hottest time of day R. I don't know why there's an R at the end, but there is.
I don't know. Maybe it symbolizes question.
Around 3 p.m. Heat continues building up after noon when the sun is the highest in the sky. As long as more heat is arriving at the earth than leaving, by 3 p.m. or so, the sun is low enough in the sky for outgoing heat to be greater than incoming. That's what it says. I don't really know.
Usually always feels like it's just baking right after lunch, though, you know? But I guess it continues to get hotter for a couple hours. Anyway.
Either way.
It's hot, but we're in a studio, so I'm not complaining. It's nice and cool in here.
But next week we'll be leaving at the hottest part of the day.
Yes, we will. And it'll be hotter when we get here.
When we walk out of this cold studio into the hot sun, like it'll...
Yeah.
I might just stay here till like 8 when the sun starts cooling off a little bit.
I mean, it might not be that bad of an idea, honestly. I mean, we've talked about the walk to the car and how long it is. You know, it's at least 10 to 15 yards to get from the door to the car. So, anyway, say a prayer for us and walk into our cars today in the heat. And if you're actually out there in the heat, stay hydrated.
Yeah, my mom works out in the heat. I have to call her every day. I'm sure she knows, but I'm just like, hey, stay hydrated.
Drink some water.
She's like, I know. I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
I was like, I'm just reminding you, in case you're thirsty, you should drink water.
Yeah.
Really, you should drink water in the mornings before you go out. The best way to fight dehydration is to hydrate before.
Is that factual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, once you start getting thirsty, you're already behind the eight ball a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I've probably heard that, but something I didn't, you know, just forgot.
Sure.
Sure, they told us that back in the sports playing days.
Probably.
So, it's Friday. It's good to be here. Memorial Day this weekend. You excited for Memorial Day?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I plan on going to Indianapolis for the 500. My father is actually headed to Vanderbilt to get some tests done today. So if you are the praying type, say a prayer for him. If that goes okay, then yes, I will be going to Indianapolis. If not, then I'll be hanging around. So it's kind of 50-50. But yeah, otherwise, I'm looking forward to Memorial Day. It's one of those holidays that I don't really like doing anything on. Hot, usually. Usually, I'm just kind of like, pool, maybe, if I could find a pool. The problem is I don't have a pool. I'm trying to talk the old lady into putting a pool in at the house. That way I would never have to leave the house.
You can come to my pool if you'd like.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Will you be there?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to come if you're not there.
If I'm out there, you can come.
That's a fair invite. I appreciate it.
It's also, I don't know, it's kind of a different crowd.
It's all right. It's got water.
It does. It does. It's cool. But yeah, I might be out there Sunday or something. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
I'll keep you posted.
Sure. I'm sure I'll hear from you. I look forward to it.
Come on. I'd like to be out on the lake is where I'd really like to be, but I don't know anybody with a boat. If anybody wants to maybe invite me to your lake plans, maybe come out on your boat. I mean, just throwing it out there. We have a big audience.
I don't know if anyone really wants to babysit you on the boat with the whole
babysit me.
Last time you were on the boat last year, you almost scraped your whole entire face off. You almost broke your neck on the water. That was Memorial Day, correct?
That was Memorial Day.
Yes, the last time you were on the water for Memorial Day, you almost broke your neck, skint your whole face off, and whoever is responsible for you on their boat would be responsible for trying to get your big ass out of the water and into the ambulance.
In fairness to me, I don't know if you've ever drank on the lake with me, but nobody had to be responsible for me. Just because I was bleeding from the forehead did not mean I could not get back up into the boat.
One inch a little bit further down and boom.
And that was a freak accident. That didn't mean that I was hammered drunk. It just meant that I accidentally hit my forehead with a glass bottle.
You're right. You looked very sober and in control as you were holding up a bottle of Jack Daniels with blood streaming down your face.
It was Jim Beam.
Either way,
I'll have you know.
You looked very in control of yourself.
Hey, that was late in the evening. That was like 6 p.m. I mean, that, you know, we began the day early. I was fine.
Yeah, if anybody is listening that wants to take Cody on their boat, he is available, apparently.
Maybe. If you invite me. We'll see.
Instead of the pool, I've also been saying, hey, maybe we should just get a boat instead. But I don't really want to take care of the boat.
We could just go rent a boat.
I'm sure they're booked.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure everyone's busy weekend for the boat.
I'm sure everyone is out ahead of us when it comes to renting a boat. They probably made those plans last year.
Does Houston have a boat?
He's got like a fishing boat, I think.
We could ask. Ben says he has a boat. That doesn't seem accurate. You have a boat? I've never seen it at your house.
Either way, do you have any baseball updates for me? You said you were going to keep up with that. You got anything for us to start the show?
No.
No? Okay, good.
No.
Moving on. Did you watch any of the Raptors-Bucks last night?
Yes, I did.
That was a fun game.
I watched the fourth quarter pretty intently.
Okay.
Kawhi kept getting fouled. That was the main thing I noticed.
Yeah, Kawhi put on a performance, and Kawhi's really cementing himself as second best player in the league. Like, I feel like he's separating himself from Giannis, I guess would be my point. I'd still rather have Kawhi than Durant, so I guess maybe I'm saying I'd rather have Kawhi than anybody, because when you see what's happening in the series, like, Kawhi's guarding Giannis, and that's not going well for the Bucks. And Giannis hasn't taken on the responsibility of guarding Kawhi yet. So far, per 100 possessions by defender, with a minimum of 100 matchups. Against guys like Joel Embiid, Giannis scores 51 points per 100 possessions. Al Horford, 40.6. Kawhi's running mate, Pascal Siakam, 33.2. Blake Griffin does a good job against Giannis, 31.2. And then you get to Kawhi, who holds Giannis to 15.9 points per game, by far the best in the league. As Giannis is running by everyone and scoring on everyone, the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard have figured out a way to slow him down, and Nate Hodges' Bucks are on the brink of elimination. Mike Budenholzer is a really good regular season coach. It does not seem like he has an answer for the Raptors' adjustments. If you were watching the fourth quarter, Cody, I'm sure you noticed when Giannis was doing what he did all regular season, which is get the ball, run really fast towards the other basket, and if he can get there, dunk it. If not, kick it out for three. The Raptors are just like, you know what? Four of us are going to stand here and make a wall. around the free throw line. You're not going to get to the rim. You're going to kick it out to someone who's not going to hit the shot. Go for it. And it's really bothering the Bucks when it comes to transition offense, and their half court hasn't been good enough, and it seems like Giannis doesn't have a plan B. If he can't get the ball and just run really fast towards the rim and either dunk it or kick it out for three, they're not going to score fast break baskets, at least not a lot of them. And you saw Toronto go in last night to Milwaukee, and you saw the best player on the court being in a red jersey with the corn rolls, dishing out 9 assists. I mean, that was impressive. Like, Kawhi scored, what, 35 points he scored? 35 points on 25 shots, hit 5 of 8 from 3. Yeah, that's good. And at one point, I think he had 16 of the 19 Raptors points, bridging the third and fourth quarter. Like, he put them on their back and got them the lead as he kept hitting step-back 3 over step-back 3 in front of Brooke Lopez. Kawhi Leonard had 16 of their 19 points during a stretch that got them the lead. I was impressed with that. I was more impressed that he had 9 assists. And of those 9 assists, Cody, do you want to know how many led to a 3-point field goal?
Of his 9 assists, how many led to a 3-point field goal?
Of his 9 assists, how many do you think ended up in a 3-point field goal?
4.
9.
Wow.
So his 9 assists equaled 27 points.
So 9 for 9 when Kawhi.
Well, I don't know if it was 9 for 9. Like they missed some shots, but yeah, like all 9 of the assists he made were 3-pointers. Wow. So he gave you an extra 27 points of wide open threes, and no one really benefited more than Fred VanVleet, who was kind of left for dead early in this series. He was the difference in the game last night. He was the X factor. He was the new variable thrown into the equation that, you know, skews the final score as he comes off the bench and hits 7 of 9 three-pointers and scores 21 points. Like, he was the difference. I'm guessing of those 7 threes he made, I'm going to say at least 5 of them were off of Kawhi. I know the ones in the fourth quarter that were big were off of Kawhi.
I was reading an article a couple of days ago about how the Raptors have really relied on this drive and then kick offense.
That the Raptors have?
Against the Bucks. Where you were talking about Giannis trying to go inside and then kick it out if he can't dunk it.
Yeah.
The Raptors have benefited from that much more than the Bucks have when they do it. Because Kawhi has been driving and kicking it out, and a lot of times they have open corner threes.
And Kawhi's been good at still scoring in the mid paint, the mid post.
Yeah. And the bench, I mean, like you said, VanVleet, I mean, he was the most. He had 21, but all in all, the bench had 35. And, I mean, you got to take that on the road, right?
Powell and Ibaka added in 8 and 6 for 14, you know, for 14 combined. Yeah. Whereas you look at the Bucks bench, George Hill gave you 12. Pat Connaughton gave you 3. That's it.
And the Raptors bench, you know, that's sort of what helped them win the last game at home.
Yeah, I mean, Fred VanVleet, the first 15 games of the postseason. So the first 15 games they played in the playoffs, he had one game where he scored in double digits of the 15. He was 8 of 41 from 3. Give me some quick math on that. That's what, like 20%? Basically less than 20%?
8 of 41?
Yeah.
That's about 17%.
I think it's a little bit better than 17, but like 18, 19, whatever. Either way, it's...
Be 4 out of 20 and a half.
Yeah. I was going to say 18% was what I was going to say, like 18.5%.
19.5%.
19.5%, okay.
Yeah, because it'd be 2 out of 10.25.
Sure, and 1 out of 5.125.
And half out of whatever that is. The smaller I break the numbers down, the easier it is for me to figure out the percentages.
Well, either way, 8 of 41 from 3 in his first 15 playoff games. Those aren't enough shot attempts. I mean, on one hand, yeah, you're shooting 19%. Maybe you shouldn't shoot more. But at the same time, 15 games, 41 threes, that seems a little low because the last 2 games, both of these have been in double digits, Cody. He's 12 of 18 from the field goal, you know, from the field. And from 3, I told you he was 8 of 41 his first 15 games from 3.
Mm-hmm.
His last 2 games, he is 10 of 12 from 3.
5 of 6.
Yeah. Yeah. That's solid 80, percentage. 83%. Yeah. 0.3.
3, 3, 3, 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that one.
I mean, granted, you know, that helps when you go 7-9 in one game, but either way, game four was also big, and he came through and was 3-3 from three. That's the difference in the series, is one guy is getting help from his bench from guys who you don't expect. While also, like, if I'm looking at Milwaukee, I'm like, hey, you had two All-Stars. Like, I know most people don't think of Chris Middleton as an All-Star, but he was.
He had 30 the other night.
Right. I mean, he was on fire the other night. He looked like he was unguardable. He was an All-Star by definition. Like, again, I don't know where you think of Chris Middleton. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. I think he's going to get some big interest from teams. Like, I wouldn't even really hate if the Hawks threw big money at him. Like, I like Chris Middleton. Whatever you think about him, though. If you think he's a real All-Star, if you think he's really one of the 24 best players in the league, whatever.
I just know he's the only guy besides Giannis who gave them anything two nights ago.
Well, I will say this. Like, you know, despite what you think of Chris Middleton, he should not be fifth among the five starters in shot attempts. Like, I could say that pretty confidently, that your All-Star, your closer, your guy set up to get probably max money, maybe not from Milwaukee, but someone will give him big-time money this offseason, he shouldn't be getting fifth among your five starters when it comes to field goal attempts. Giannis got 18, Brogdon got 17, Bledsoe 14, Lopez 12, Middleton 9. And Middleton didn't have a good game, I understand that, but he is someone who has proven that he can get it going and he can score when he needs to. I don't think you bail on a guy like that and only give them 8 shot attempts until the final minute where he got one. Or I guess he got 2 in the final minute. He got a layup, and then he threw a desperation 3 up. So really, he had 7 shots through, you know, the first 47 minutes of the game. Like I said, I don't know how you feel about him when it comes to judging him among other great players, whether or not he's a top 24 player, which is what an All-Star team means. I don't know. He is not the fifth most important offensive player on the Bucks. If you're going to see Kawhi Leonard check and really, I mean, really slow down Giannis, you got to make sure Middleton is giving you more. Now we get a great Game 6. This Game 6 is going to be fun. You have the home team, Toronto, which you already saw Drake last night after the game. He was there at Jurassic Park. Like, he was having his little watch party. Because, you know, they kind of started that thing we give the Preds credit for, right?
What?
The outdoor watch parties. Like, the Preds completely ripped off Toronto. Like, we don't really talk about it because we love the Preds. We're a Preds team, whatever, or a Preds show, whatever. Cody doesn't like them since they lost in the playoffs. They didn't go far enough for his liking, but
I'm more of a Vegas fan.
Sure. Sure. But, I mean, the Preds 100% ripped that off of Toronto. They've been doing this Jurassic Park, stand outside, watch the games thing for a long time.
I didn't know that the place that they did their parties was called Jurassic Park. So
yeah.
When I saw that last night for the first time, I thought that was cool.
Oh, you thought it was cool? Okay, I was wondering.
Because it's called Jurassic Park.
I didn't know if you were going to say, oh, it was kind of lame.
No, I thought it was cool.
Cool. I think it's cool, too.
I think
too.
Dinosaurs are cool.
Okay. I'm more of a dragons guy, but whatever.
I'm more of a dragons guy, too, but I still think dinosaurs are cool.
Fair enough. Maybe it's not a this or that topic.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. You
either
can
way.
Enjoy both.
Either way.
If I was a Bucks fan, I would hate Drake. I would be so mad seeing his dumb ass on the TV every time, especially when I'm getting beat.
Well, not when you're winning. When you're winning, you're like, ah, yeah, Drake, come on. Take Kawhi out this summer and bring him back.
Yeah, but if I'm playing at home and I'm in that game last night and I lose, if I'm a Bucks fan, I hate that guy.
Well, he wasn't there in
no,
Milwaukee.
But they showed him on the screen.
Oh, they showed him in the game?
Well,
to
right,
get booed at,
right
maybe?
Toward the end, they just showed where he was at, yeah.
I know they showed it on TV. I don't know if they showed it in the arena, but either way.
Oh, maybe not in the arena.
Okay.
But,
I mean, if you're a Bucks fan, not in the game.
Bucks fan at home or
you'd
whatever.
Be like, okay, enough, Drake.
Yeah, I've seen this guy's face enough.
Well, after the game, he was talking about how passionate they are. He basically was like, hey, in case you guys forgot, we started this thing. He said the Toronto Raptors are a college fan base. We love our team the way that you guys in America love your college teams.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Arena seemed to be rocking last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, no, these are two good fan bases that care a lot, and I think Game 6, Toronto having a chance to get to their first NBA Finals at home, that's going to be a really fun crowd. Unless things go poorly, then they're going to get really anxious and nervous, and then those are fun crowds too. I'm looking forward to Game 6.
How about
you think you're the best, Giannis? Even after the game you said you're the best team, you're not going to fold. Prove it. Go into Toronto, win game six. The Raptors are only favored by two. That's a coin flip. Go in, get it done. Go in and get it done. Game five was fun last night. Kawhi just hitting those threes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a tight game all the way through.
I know Max Kellerman took a lot of hell for saying Kawhi's a clutcher player than Kobe, but man, like, watching Kawhi dominate the way he does when it's game time, and then you get the quotes after the game from Kawhi's like, yeah, this is what I worked out for all last summer.
I love his post-game interviews.
He's basically like, this is what I do.
He's just, yeah, they were trying to get him to ask, you know, they were like saying, how did it go or whatever, or how do you go into the next game? And he's just like, I haven't even been to the locker room yet. I'm just trying to go to the locker room, and we'll see what we talk about there.
Like, after game two, where they got killed in Milwaukee, right, and it was 2-0, they're like, where do you go for here? He's just like, I'm going to Toronto.
Yeah, that's how his interview was last night.
Game three is in Toronto. I'm going to Toronto. What do you, yeah, what do you mean?
Last night's was funny because, like, they asked him, like, what will it be like when you beat the Bucks like, four times in a row, or, like, beating the Bucks four times in a row, and he was like, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
He's like, I haven't done that.
I mean, I love Kawhi. Now, he does have that black mark on him last year where, you know, he just pretty much quit on the Spurs, like, was just like, nah, I'm done. But they were mismanaging his injury, and he was like, hey, I got to take care of myself. So, like, that's a, you know, that's a black mark.
I don't blame him for that.
But outside of that, the guy's a killer. Man, if I was a Spurs fan, man, I'd be sick. If I was a Spurs fan, I won't think I would get over that. I know I've been spoiled with Tim Duncan for a long time, but, man, I'd be looking like, we said I had, you know, Kawhi for another 10 years. I remember when Kawhi, you know, first bust on the scene as the number 15 pick that, you know, went toe-to-toe with LeBron in the finals. Like, people were like, yeah, this is the perfect Spur, a quiet assassin.
When did he first come on the scene? Like 2010?
I don't think it's that long. I mean, I don't know. He played at San Diego State. I mean, he played us whenever Bruce and the boys beat San Diego State, I want to say, in 2019, or not 2009, excuse me.
That was not 19.
In 2009.
I was thinking.
But he didn't. He wasn't done even with school. Then I want to say maybe the 2011 draft is what I want to say. 2011 draft. So, yeah, he's been here since 11, so.
So, he should have quite a career ahead of him still.
He's still got a little bit left. He's only 29. I mean, he's only 27. He's got, you would think, another 7 years at a really high level.
Drafted by the Pacers and immediately traded to the Spurs. They got to be
Hill.
Sick.
Yeah, for George Hill. The Pacers wanted George Hill because he was a local guy. He went to Uwipuwi. IUPUI is where George Hill went. They need a point guard. They're like, yeah, we'll trade for George Hill, and then we'll give up Kawhi Leonard, who at the time was just the number 15 pick, but you're like, okay, that seems like a backfire. There could have been a scenario where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were both in the backcourt together, the front court, on the wing, wreaking havoc. That would have been cool. That's also neat, as we talked about the lottery and freaked out about it. Like, Kawhi and Giannis going head-to-head, both drafted number 15 overall. The Raptors actually have no top 10 picks on their entire roster, which I think is pretty cool.
This offseason is going to be really fun to see how these moves are made, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of who goes where. Because I think I'm the most interested in Kawhi. You know, average person probably got to go with Durant.
Yeah, Kawhi's going to win a title. They're going to have a big parade for him, carry him off his shoulders. Like, yeah, see you guys. Thanks.
Going to L.A.
I gave you your one title. It's been fun. It's been real.
I'm
pulling. Can't say
for
it's
him.
Been real fun. That'd be fun.
Is he the most intriguing free agent besides Durant?
I think Kawhi, being a little bit younger than Durant, being.
I think Durant's still just more of a household name, though. You know.
Yeah, for sure, he is. And if Durant doesn't go to the Knicks, it becomes more intriguing. I just will believe it when I see it that he's not going to end up in New York. With Kawhi, I don't really know. Like, he hits the hero shot in Game 7 against the Sixers. Now he has Toronto winning three in a row. Like, it looked like they were just going to get knocked out in five games, and it'd be easy to just go ahead and leave. But now it looks like he's going to drag them to the finals. And then he's going to go head-to-head with Durant, who, although maybe Durant's not back, apparently the latest update is Durant's not going to be ready for the beginning of the finals. So watching Kawhi shut down Curry or shut down Clay is going to be a lot of fun.
He's done it before.
He had that Spurs team up, you know, 27, I want to say it was, before Zaza took his ankle out. Kawhi, unfinished business.
And that's definitely what we're pulling for, right? To see Kawhi?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's what I want. The finals.
Yeah. Game six is going to be great. I love watching these two superstars go head-to-head, and you've seen Kawhi kind of separate himself. Giannis is still great, don't get me wrong. But I just feel like Kawhi separated himself, showing, hey, I can guard Giannis, and then I can do everything on offense you still need me to do. 35 points. I'll give you another 27 in assists. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Before yesterday, the Bucks were, or I guess before, prior to game five, so this is two games. No, this was game five. Okay, so prior to yesterday. That's rough. Prior to yesterday, the Bucks were 33-0 when they were at home and leading after three quarters. Biggest game of the year. They blow that fourth quarter lead. Prior to yesterday, 33-0. They're also on their longest losing streak of the regular of the season too. They had never lost three games in a row, picking a bad time to do that as well. With Durant out for the beginning of the finals, do you think either one of these teams can actually beat the Warriors? With Durant saying, I'm not going to be ready for the beginning?
No.
You still don't think either one can beat the Warriors?
No, I think Kawhi, I mean, I'm pulling for Kawhi to get there just because I want to see him play defense like you were talking about and shut down Steph.
Uh-huh.
I think Kawhi could do that, but I think it's just the Warriors are too much, you know? Even if you do shut down Steph, I don't think the Raptors are good enough as a team to consistently beat them. I think they could get a game or two, sure. I think they could push it to six.
Is it possible that the Trailblazers aren't very good and we've kind of been thrown off the scent of the Warriors a little bit because, without Durant because the Blazers aren't very good? And even though the Blazers aren't very good, they led, what was it, 101 minutes of the 83 of the 184? Is that what it was? It was 101-83, I believe, in minutes led in that series. Like, I don't think Portland's very good. I think Portland got the benefit of a good draw, right? Like, Utah, Houston, Golden State were all on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Who did they have to beat?
They beat Oklahoma City and Denver.
Oh, yeah, the Nuggets. That's right.
Like I said, like Denver was a number two seed. I get that, but Denver was not a team that I looked at as being playoff ready yet. I think Utah and Houston were both better than anybody on that side. If you put Houston, if you put Houston over there or Utah, like, they're both getting to the conference finals. So I do think it's possible that the Blazers are kind of making us think the Warriors are invincible because they're the Blazers.
There's probably something to that. Yeah, there probably is. But, I mean, Golden State still – the way they closed against Houston was impressive.
Yeah, but it was one game.
Yeah, sure.
And it was Steph Curry catching fire, and it was just kind of a, oh, wow, can't believe this happened. And even then it was a tie game with like 3 minutes left, and then Curry went crazy.
And I maintain that it's easier for Golden State because they jump out to the series lead. And once they get up 2-0 on you, like, then they're kind of, you know, the pressure's off, especially against a team like Portland. And I think it's just easier to play well when you have that advantage. Mm-hmm. I've always thought it's harder to come from behind when the pressure's on, you know, and Golden State rarely has to do that. So if, you know, if, I mean, the Raptors could just maybe win one of those first two because they'll play the first two in Oakland, right?
No. Well, yes, if it's Toronto, that's a good question. I think they finished with a very similar record. I think Toronto has home court, too. I think Milwaukee 160, Toronto 158. Yeah, Golden State only 157, so they will be starting on the road. They will be starting in the East.
So the So the both first
teams have,
two?
Both teams have home court advantage over the Warriors.
So if Toronto wins the series, they will have
home
the
court.
First two at home.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, I mean, if you could get a team like Golden State down early, you know, test them, make them come from behind for once. Like, I mean, if the Raptors, I mean, I don't think they'd get a 2-0 series lead, but imagine if they did. Two at home, I mean, you got to think they'd be favored. They're definitely going to win one of them.
Right, and then they just have to win one of the next two in Golden State or whatever. Like, it's,
yeah.
I think there's a chance for a really good series. And like I said, I think everyone is assuming that they are going to be go back to being invincible. When I say they, I mean the Warriors. Like, I do think they are getting a little bit too much credit for beating Portland the way they did. And sure, Houston fell apart in Game 6 at home with a chance to advance that series, and Steph Curry went off Steph Curry, and Draymond Green looks like an all-NBA player again. He's lost weight. He's flying around. He's hitting shots. He's playing really well. But I also think that the Raptors are the best team that they will have faced.
I think another interesting narrative could be, what if we do find that Golden State goes to Toronto in the first game and they drop it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Toronto comes out hot, Kawhi's playing great defense, they got a little bit of rest, even though Golden State will have way more rest.
Yeah, Golden State's over there chilling right now with their feet kicked back.
Right, but let's just say Toronto comes out hot, Kawhi shuts him down like we saw him do with the Spurs a couple years ago, and Durant's still not ready to play, and then Durant comes back for game two. Does Durant start to get the credit again if they come back and then dominate game two? And does that cause a rift in the locker room for Golden State? Because I can see a scenario where Toronto comes out hot and wins game one and Kawhi shuts him down.
Yeah.
But then Durant probably comes back, right?
I think it'll be much funnier if it's like 1-1 heading home or even 2-0 Toronto heading back to Golden State. And then Durant gets dropped back in like San Francisco and comes out struggling a little bit, and the crowd just turns on Durant over the final couple games. Like, I don't even know if Durant will come back. If I'm him, like, this calf injury is lingering, right? They keep acting like it's not bad, but it keeps having setbacks. Like, yeah, it's actually worse, and there's just more setbacks and setbacks. Like, I think it's even 50-50 he plays in the finals. Like, my man's set up to have, like, a huge max contract in the offseason, right? He's a free agent, like, Kawhi didn't want to risk it during the regular season last year or the playoffs. Like, he was like, hey, I'm a year and a half away from free agency. I need to protect my money. Durant is a month away from free agency. Like, you're not getting credit for these championships anyway, right? You're not getting credit if you come in and win a championship.
You are, though.
You're getting a little.
You are, though. Maybe you're not getting credit at Golden State, but you're getting credit in NBA history. You're still getting those rings.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of your career, you can look and say, I got three. Sure, I understand what you're saying, but if I'm him, I'm like, got to make sure my leg feels good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, though. To win a title, to know that you're the best player in the NBA and you only got to come back, so you got to come back five games, maybe six games. I mean, if he's close to 100%, I think he's got to come back.
You mentioned the Houston Rockets. There was a really interesting story that came out about them yesterday. We'll touch on that later in the show, maybe later this hour, maybe hour two. I know we've done a lot of NBA to start the show. We'll go to the hat next, kind of break it up, and reward you for sticking through with us in case you hate the NBA. So, yeah, we'll go to the hat next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, talked a lot of NBA to start. I do think it's fascinating, and I do want to dive into this Rockets story a little bit later, as well as the agony on Klay Thompson's face yesterday when he finds out, hey, you just lost $30 million. Congratulations. But for now, let's go to the hat.
Into the hat we go.
Into the hat we go.
Into the hat we go. Would you rather... I like this one.
A good would-you-rather question.
I have a lot of those in the hat. Would you rather be a NASCAR driver or see the Tennessee Volunteers win a football national title? Would you rather be a NASCAR driver or see Tennessee win a football title? It's trickier than you think, because I think the first instinct is like, of course I want to see us win a football national title. But if you're a NASCAR driver, that means that you're probably a millionaire.
What's the median salary of NASCAR drivers?
I don't know. If you get to that league, if you get to that point, I feel like they're all have made over $1 million to get to the highest series. I'm going to say you're an average NASCAR driver. Like, you don't have to be one of the worst or necessarily one of the best.
Mm-hmm. A developmental NASCAR driver makes between $100,000 and $300,000 in base salary and another $200,000 in prize money.
Developmental, though, is lower, right?
Yeah, that's like a lower level. That'd be like a truck series guy, right? Or like ARCA or something.
Can I at least be a good NASCAR driver?
Yeah, I'll give you a solid good. You're like a top 15 NASCAR driver. You're competing.
I'm going to turn to the left sometime.
Okay.
I think I would enjoy, I don't know.
I mean, your only job is to just go racing every week.
I like driving, but I don't think I'd want to be a NASCAR driver. Like, I assume that you want to be a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
That's never interests me.
Is
like, racing doesn't really interest me. I like driving. No.
As Spring Cup, I would love to be a NASCAR driver.
Is Spring Cup the big times?
Yeah.
Spring Cup is the big times?
Spring Cup, yeah.
Monster Energy Cup Series now. But, yeah, it used to be the Sprint
Cup. It says a Sprint Cup driver can make over $20 million a year. Dale Earnhardt Jr. cleared $28.2 million in salary, prize money, and endorsements.
Yeah. Jimmy made $19 for a year. I mean, he was really good. So
I'm saying you just make – let's say you make like $1 million a year. You're not even a superstar. You're just kind of a, you know, above-average NASCAR driver.
I don't think I would enjoy doing that, though.
You don't think you would enjoy being a NASCAR driver?
No.
You just go race every weekend?
I don't want to do that.
I think I'd rather watch Tennessee win a national title.
But the money.
It's hot, though. Like, if you're just asking me, like, the better question would be, like, can you make
– hot?
Like, if you'd be like, hey, you can make $2 million to go host, like, a national radio show, I would sign up for that.
Would you rather make
– in a heartbeat.
$2 million a year hosting a national radio show or $20 million a year being a NASCAR driver?
$2 million doing a national radio
show. You'd give up $18 million just to do what you love versus being a NASCAR driver?
At a certain point, enough money – like, at a certain point, there's, you know.
Sure, $2 million a year is plenty of money.
Right. At a certain point, I'm just like, yeah, I can live the exact life I would have lived with $2 million a year type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't want to be a I just don't really want to be a NASCAR driver. I mean, it's hot. You get stuck in that car. I'm a little claustrophobic. It seems like they get strapped up tight in those cars.
You'd get in shape. You know, NASCAR drivers are some of the best athletes in the world.
I don't necessarily care about the getting in shape part of it. I can just exercise more. It's the claustrophobic. I don't want to wear that heavy-ass helmet. I assume, do they pump in air? Like, do they keep you climate-controlled in there these days, or is it still hot?
You're asking me like I've been a driver before.
I'm assuming it's still hot.
No, it's, yeah, it's
you're still in the flame. You're still in the flame retardant suit with a helmet, all that stuff.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
NASCAR drivers can lose up to 6 pounds per race. Do you guys know that? It's a grueling event. It's an endurance test.
I think that goes more into it being hotter than hell.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Just saying, I mean, several million. And it's glamorous.
Is it glamorous?
Not quite like being like an NBA or NFL star, but it's kind of glamorous.
Is it still glamorous? Like,
it's glamorous amongst the redneck women.
How many NASCAR drivers do you think it's glamorous for? Like, any of them?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, yeah, sure.
Jeff Gordon.
The top of the top. Understandable, but like, well,
what do we mean by glamorous? I guess what most of these guys are like married. If you look at them, they've all got hot wives, but most of them do seem to be married.
I mean, could the average person spot out Jeff Biffle? Is that a guy?
Jeff Biffle?
No, who's Biffle? Ryan?
Greg Biffle?
Greg Biffle? Could
he's not in the league anymore?
Well, could the average person spot him out?
I don't know.
Could the average NASCAR fan spot him, like, outside of his car?
Just wearing street clothes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can it be glamorous if, like, the average person, even the average fan of the sport, can't spot you?
I mean, could you
I don't even know his name.
Could you spot the average golfer?
I called him Jeff Biffle.
Could you spot the Jeff seems right. There's a lot of guys named Jeff.
Yeah.
Could you spot the average
golfer?
The average golfer? Because they're kind of like NASCAR drivers and just being regular looking dudes.
I feel like if Brant Snedeker was around here, I've seen him enough where I could.
I don't think I could.
He's got the long. He's kind of got the little bit longer blonde hair. Kind of. I want to say has a big nose. I don't know. Probably not.
The average baseball player, probably not. I mean, really, it's just.
I'm just thinking, like, glamorous, though. Like, I don't consider being a baseball player glamorous either.
I mean, it just.
A top flight golfer, yes, that would be glamorous, but.
Just in terms of spotting guys in public, though, really, it's only the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking what makes it glamorous to be a NASCAR driver, I guess, was my real point. It's not. Maybe it's not just about recognition. I'm asking what about it makes it glamorous outside of the money.
Every NASCAR driver seems to have a really beautiful, typically blonde wife. I don't know why that's a thing, but it seems to be a thing in the sport. But they all seem to be married. I don't know if there's a lot of bachelors in NASCAR. There's probably a few. But yeah, I don't know what else makes it glamorous. I don't think you know, celebrities are seeking out NASCAR drivers to invite to their parties when they go to a city for a race.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers had a thing with Danica.
Although, who was that blonde he was sitting next to at the Bucks game last night?
No idea.
I don't know, but you know, Drake wants her. He changed his Instagram picture.
She was wearing a picture of Pusha T.
Yeah, and then Drake changed his Instagram.
And then said, don't worry, I'll still give you tickets to OVO Fest. So
yeah.
We'll probably have sex soon.
Yeah, most likely. It seems to be. Well, what's she doing with Aaron Rodgers, though, I wonder?
I don't know. Maybe she was there next to somebody else and just happened to be next to Aaron Rodgers. I didn't see Danica, though. Like, surely Aaron Rodgers isn't stepping out with a mistress right there front and center.
She's right beside him. I didn't see anybody else in the area.
Do you need your quarterback to be able to finish his chug?
That's the Bucks owner's daughter, apparently.
Okay. Oh. Oh.
That's what I was going to say. That's what Jake says.
I was gonna say, well, I remember her from the lottery a couple years ago. Bucks owner's daughter, very, very attractive.
Well, she
even back then when you knew that she was like 18 or 19, you knew this is one of the more desirable women in the world. Like, Jeannie Buss at the time, Buck's daughter, that was in my top 10. Now she's very grown up. Shout out to her.
Oh, Jeannie Buss was in your top 10?
Yeah, but not anymore. She's proven to not be very smart. I just would think it'd be cool to be, you know, in the Lakers ownership group. But she's obviously proven herself to not be very smart, so I don't look at her the same way. And she betrayed Magic Johnson for Rob Pelinka. So, I mean, she's not even that loyal. So, she's out. Stephanie McMahon's still in there, though.
Nah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Her father's a jerk.
Yeah, eventually he'll die, though.
And she'll inherit a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of was my line of thinking. So, in your scenario, the UT winning a national championship, do we not even care about that anymore? Are we just kind of like, eh?
I mean, if it means I can make millions as a NASCAR driver, then I'm choosing that.
Career-wise, if Tennessee was to win a national championship and we did a really good season of radio, I mean, we could advance our careers, but probably not to the definitely not to the million-dollar salary range.
I don't think Tennessee winning a national championship is going to help us really in any way.
I mean, really, I mean, us starting out 2-0 back in 2016 really helped me, like. Now, granted, it didn't lead to millions of dollars. It helped me make thousands and thousands of dollars, but not millions.
I mean, what could it possibly lead to?
If we won a national championship, we'd have to talk about Tennessee football, like, all the time. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I would like it at that point.
Okay. Still, to do it all the time?
If we were really good, yeah, okay. I would.
Okay.
The reason it's so tough now is because we're horrible.
Okay.
What would that do for us career-wise, though? I mean, like we moved to a bigger market or what?
I don't know if it there'd be more exposure, more people happy, more advertising dollars floating around.
Oh, well, yeah.
Stuff like that, I guess.
I don't know.
If we did some cool stuff covering it, it could lead to more, like I said.
I was thinking like moving up to a bigger market.
I was just going to say, like, I mean.
But then we'd leave Knoxville.
I was just saying, like, when we were top 10 in the country, those videos were really, really popular and.
Do you have any big markets reaching out?
No, but I mean, I had gained a lot of. I mean, I could have capitalized on that if it had gone just a couple weeks longer, but it kind of fizzled out dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
It ended very sadly.
Yeah, Alabama came in and beat us 49-10.
And then it was over.
Yeah, that was that shut the whole thing down.
It was a wrap.
It's like, this was fun.
Yeah.
You know,
so as far as your scenario goes, I don't want to be a NASCAR driver. No thanks.
I think it would be a lot of fun. I used to dream about it as a kid.
Maybe Trey can come in and tell me stories about Cuz, and you know, maybe Bubba's living a really good life, and that could change my opinion. But
Do you think Cuz is telling Trey all the cool stories? Come on now.
Okay, well, but fair enough.
I'm just thinking. I don't know. As a kid, I got a go-kart. I was like 9, maybe 10. And I used to practice all the time. And at one point, I thought I might legitimately have a shot at being a NASCAR driver.
What do you mean, legitimately a shot?
Well, I used to take my go-kart out into the field, and I used to make tracks. I made a race car track, or a dirt track.
Sure.
You know, if you drive a go-kart around enough times in a circle, you wear it out and you make the grooves and everything. You make a track.
I'm familiar with how grass works.
Yeah. Yeah, you wear the grass down. Yeah. And, yeah.
Make a trail.
Yeah, you've been around grass. So you make I made a track, an actual circular track, and I would even test my times, my lap times. I'd go around there and I'd be faster. I'd get better. Now, I never did race against other go-karts competitively, but I think that would have been the next step in the process, you know. And I wanted to do that, but I think my parents viewed it as kind of a dream that would never come true for me. So then I started playing football. But there was a time when I was racing was really my thing. You didn't know that about me. You probably would have never guessed. I could have been the next Jimmy Spencer.
The next who?
The next Jimmy Spencer.
Who is Jimmy Spencer?
He's a heavy NASCAR driver. He drove the Target car for a while.
Kind of seems fitting.
Yeah, he ended up getting a, well, he drove for Kmart. I think he drove for Kmart, and then he drove the Target car. He had a real rivalry with Kurt Busch back in the mid-2000s. They used to wreck each other all the time. You remember that?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, it all came rushing back to me, Jimmy Spencer.
It's just hard to be...
I feel dumb for not even remembering when you first said it.
Yeah. It's just hard
to... The glamorous life of Jimmy Spencer.
Right. It's hard to be a NASCAR driver because you got to have so much money.
Yeah. I'd imagine that's why your parents were like, let's just take him and sign him up for football.
Yeah, like if you don't get in a... If you don't have a good way in, a good like it's hard to just make it from nothing.
Jimmy,
you know what
Spencer
I mean?
Having this big K logo thrown across his chest seems pretty fitting.
Yeah. Back in the day, you could just get in a stock car and it wasn't all about the money.
Now it's all politics.
You could go out and race. You could get you a big dip, you could go out, you could wear an open faced helmet, get in the car, didn't even have to put the seatbelt on if you didn't want to. You just go out and you just race, you know?
I'm choosing the national championship.
And now it's all about the money. These like sponsors.
I said, if you gave me something I would actually enjoy doing, I would take that. I just don't want to be a NASCAR driver. That doesn't even seem fun to me. I've never watched Kurt Busch and said, you know what, that guy looks like he's having a lot of fun.
You get behind the wheel of one of those cars, go racing at Bristol. That's going to be fun. I don't know if fun's the word, but it's going to be thrilling.
The first time. Then it's probably just nervous energy and claustrophobia and sweating and being hot. Having to pee all over yourself because you can't go use the bathroom.
You don't have to pee because you sweat it all out.
I feel like you're drinking a lot of water, though, to stay hydrated inside.
Yeah, but you sweat it out. You never notice when you really need to pee and you sweat a lot, it goes away?
Give me a better offer for something I would like to do, and I would take that over the national title. But if it came to NASCAR driver national title, I'm taking the national title.
You would be so mad if we both were presented this deal and Tennessee football won a national title and you got to enjoy that. But then you looked at me and I was on the TV screen every week, just turning to the left sometimes. And you'd be like, wow, Cody is out there living the dream.
You might be right.
You'd be mad.
You might be right. I'm going to guess that you're not, though. I'd be like, good for Cody.
Be making millions.
I'm good.
Me and Bubba would be teammates. Just bump drafting at Talladega.
Nah. Go Vols. Yeah. GBO, VFL.
Hashtag GBO.
Hour one in the books. We GTO. Oh, no. Messed that up.
GTFO?
I was going to say we got to go, but I said GTO. That's obviously G2G and the number G. Messed that up too. The number two. Yeah, this is in hour one.